Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and I'm joined once again by my good friend, Aram in Toronto. What's up, Aram?
Not much, but we got some news to talk about, I guess.
Yeah. It's been a little bit. I've taken a little time off from the trauma of the season, and I just got to say, I'm glad the season is officially over.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Nuggets. I didn't watch any of the finals. I didn't watch any of the conference finals. I needed a break, and I kept up on ESPN.com and through texting people, but I needed some time, and I think they had their parade. But now it's over. We can just put that all behind us, but there's just – it's kind of been like a couple of weeks of not much happening, but when there's not much happening, there's just a lot of like rumors. You don't know what's smoke. You don't know if something is from a legit source or somebody's just making something up or taking like an offhand comment and running with it and overhyping it. But first, Mike Dunleavy Jr. is now officially the general manager of your Golden State Warriors. I'm talking to you, Aram, and everybody else out there. And I'm like, first off, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion by all accounts. And so I think we've had a long time to accept this. I think I would have to say this is quite the turn, though. You and I are kind of older Warriors fans, and his prior term with the team going back to the early 2000s was not a good run. And so when he got brought into the fold, it was kind of like, wait, what? This guy of all people, right? Obviously his relationship with Myers was really they had a close relationship. Myers brought him, handpicked him specifically. I'm sure out of like a lot of people who he could have chosen as his like person to, teach the ways of front office management and whatnot. So, I'm sure Myers didn't do that out of not thinking of, the repercussions, and he himself was a Warriors fan too. So, it's just odd. I saw that you tweeted out earlier today. You said on the Oakland Warriors Twitter account, you said, "Oh wow, couldn't have found a better picture of Mike Dunleavy?" And it's like, well, there's a lot worse ones. If folks remember the old days, Warriors World fans and posting all the pictures of Dunleavy mouth agape or getting kicked in the face by Ira Noble. So these are the things that are a part of his legacy. But hey, this is a good opportunity to see what he's got. And, kind of like to bring it back to what you're saying about like needing a break, needing a new start, right, with this team. This is an opportunity to see, like, I mean, we don't know what he's like at all. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to a press conference when he gets introduced as the GM or if he's going to introduce draft picks or whatever. I don't even know what he sounds like now. I don't even know how he thinks. And so, but that's kind of exciting, right? Because this team is at a pivotal point. It's a real inflection point, and we don't know where anything is going to go. And so this is definitely adding some drama to the mix, if nothing else.
Right. Yeah. And, like I've said to you that, I mean, it was pretty obvious that Myers was going to leave. And there was hope. And I'll be honest, like another reason why I kind of took some time off was because I was just waiting to see when Dunleavy was officially going to be announced and when that presser is, because I feel the same way. Like, we don't know anything about, is he going to be, like, he was close to Myers, right? But is he going to, you know, be doing what Steph wants? Is he going to be just a mouthpiece for Joe Lacob? Is he going to want to make a huge impression and make some crazy move in this offseason? Is he going to plan for the future more, or is he going to just like say, go, let's go all in and sell the house, move off of all the youngsters and just try to get like another title or two? So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and that's the thing for this Warriors offseason. I feel like, you know, when you take a step back and you look at it, every offseason there's questions, right? But usually it's like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, we just need to get healthy, or we need to find another vet minimum to fill this spot, or, you know, just plug some holes. But right now there's like this schism, right? If I went on Twitter, and you just see the directions that everybody wants to go, and people that just want to, you know, like, we owe Steph this, sell on all the draft picks recently, or people that want to just, you know, get the young guys some playing time, get Kuminga, get Moody in there, get PBJ in there, et cetera, et cetera. So all of this is like, I'm just waiting for some action. I want something to happen. Like, it was also announced that Draymond is likely to opt out of his contract. And it was like, oh, but we knew that was coming, right? Because he's going to sign like a longer term deal, you know, maybe not at max, but just get more money over a few more years. But I was like, okay, it's something. Like, let's just have something, because I'm still tired of this roster and the way this team has been. So like, I'm looking at you, Dunleavy, and I think he's in a really tough spot because of that, right? Because he's going to upset a big faction of the Warriors fan base no matter what he does, right? Because some change has to happen. So if he kind of sticks with some of the youngsters, then those people who feel the opposite way are just going to lash out. And then folks like me who do like some of the young guys, if he sells them for cheap, whatever, if he moves off them for pennies on the dollar, then I'll be bummed. So like, again, I want to see that press conference. And I find it interesting that they and some other NBA news came out on a Friday, right? Because I know that maybe they're, you know, like the John Morant thing, which I don't really want to talk about, was announced today too, his suspension of 25 games. And it was like after the Nuggets parade, but it's on a Friday. And yeah, you put out news on a Friday when you don't want anybody to talk about it, you know? And like the Warriors, I'm sure they don't care about the Nuggets parade. So they put this news out on a Friday. And, you know, I just find that interesting. But, you know, Dunleavy's got, and again, taking a step back, he's got a tough job because it's just crazy to think, though, like that guy, because I think of that picture of him getting kicked in the face by Ira Knuble. Is that who it was?
Yeah, Ira Knuble. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the lasting image of him. And I also tweeted out, like, it's just mind boggling to think that after all these years, he is back. He was loathed and derided by this Warriors fan base, and now he's back in control of their favorite team, and more importantly, their emotions, right?
Yeah.
So like, he kind of has all of us like,
well, you know, I think it was Anthony Slater on The Athletic did a great job of like giving a real overview, you know, especially for folks who may not be as familiar with Dunleavy, especially that early relationship playing for the Warriors, of, you know, who he was and why everybody was kind of down on him from the start. He was basically the consolation for not getting Yao Ming, right? Which is
Jason Williams.
Yeah, which is kind of like the it's kind of like this year. It's like, imagine not getting Wembanyama, you know. But I think what also Slater you know, kind of cobbled together from all these different interviews was that, you know, one of the things that Dunleavy himself said is that, like, you know, back then I wasn't I wasn't ready to be that kind of player that I needed to be. And then furthermore, you know, rejoining the organization, you can see how much the organization has changed with the new ownership, with the new management in place. Like, and so, you know, while the name of the team is the same, so much has changed. I mean, maybe you and I haven't changed that much, but so I mean, it is going to be interesting. And you know, I think I heard Danny LaRue on a podcast talk about like this is a tough job. In another way, it may not have been that attractive to outsiders anyway in the first place because you know, the mandate is not quite clear. Obviously, the mandate is to win, but how to execute that mandate? And then, you know, a very strong owner, which, hey, not that we need to get into the A's, but can we all like be thankful for an owner who actually cares, who actually puts resources into the team, which is looking to actually win and compete? Because we as Warriors fans know what terrible ownership is. Unfortunately, other Oakland's, you know, Oakland A's fans are feeling that right now too. So as much as, you know, it is our prerogative as fans to criticize management and ownership, let's also be thankful that we're not there anymore, you know, because it easily could have been what's happening to the A's. So but it is a demanding ownership, there's no doubt about it, and we don't know where it's going to go. So I would say though, and you're right, because I think there's a lot of like splits, I think, amongst fans, at least in terms of seeing the responses and engagement on social and on the Discord is I really don't know where it's going to go. I'd have to say I'm a bit surprised on how vocal people are about get rid of Clay. I mean, I think that's definitely some recency bias. He had a bad Lakers series. It was bad. He also had a great middle of the season. And he had a bad start of the season, but he had a great middle of the season as well. So I'm kind of like, I guess, yeah, I don't know what to say other than, there's a few, you know, points coming up. There's the draft, there's free agency. And so I think the action that you want to see and that we all are waiting for, that's coming really fast. And so, you know, we've had a few rumors about Kuminga being on the block, and that, you know, this is the time where it happens, where it's draft and free agent season. So we're going to get revved up and get these rumors like this. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Kuminga rumors. Let's talk about draft and some of the free agency. So how much stock do you put in the Kuminga rumors that, oh, he could be used to move up, he could be used to get somebody else? Like, I mean, is that all a surprise? I don't think so.
No, I don't think it's a surprise because he is probably the most desirable prospect.
Yeah, he's the only thing. He's the only chip, right?
He's the guy that I would really, really want to have. The Warriors have, but guess what? We have him, but people are trying to move off him. You know, all this talk, the ESPN Draft Express stuff, and then other people, I don't know whom, saying, oh, now the Warriors want to get out or move back of the draft. I mean, it's, again, like I was saying before, it's all smoke. It's all who knows where it's coming from. And we're all, because it's been such dead air for so long, we're all like buying into it. We're like, oh yeah, licking our chops, and it's fine, it's part of fandom. Well, also, and it's funny
to that point too, you bring in a new guy who's running the show. I mean, obviously the same organization, mostly all the same people, but part of me wonders, you know, it's not the same sources anymore, right? Other people don't know exactly how this organization is going to be run now. So, you know, what credence do you put into these things? Like, well, we don't know. And, you know, usually that stuff gets leaked anyway, but who's leaking it now and for what reasons?
Right. And even people who say they have sources, like on the Discord, I'm like, okay, like, I don't know your sources, but hey, I think they have some knowledge of people in scouting and stuff, so that's cool. I don't have any sources like that, but To me, I mean, we talked about this, right? Like a couple weeks back, a few weeks back when we did all the trade talk, like we know that Kuminga is out there. Recently, it was like about trading him to move up higher from 19. And to me, I'm like, there's nobody besides Wembanyama and, you know, I guess Scoot Henderson that I would take over John Kuminga. He, you know, they're all going to be younger. They're all going to have less NBA experience. And I would think that that would be a silly move, right? Like that video of Steph and Scoot playing whatever shooting and working out together. Oh, that got interesting, right? It was like, ooh, that was such a tease. But that's not going to happen because it would take so much to get to the second spot or even the third spot. And it's not going to take just, JK and the 19th pick, right?
There's no way.
You know, like other teams would smoke that deal, that package so quickly. But, you know, like we talked about, just it's been a while, but, you know, a trade that makes sense. One of the ones that we talked about, I don't even know them, but like I'm fine if it makes sense. Not if it's like, oh, here's a 30-year-old role player who, you know, when Steph is injured, he can hang out with him and laugh and joke with him on the bench too. You know what I mean? The way he did with Gary Payton. And I'm not trying to sound like too cynical, but like, you know, I feel like these kind of factions, some of it is, and like we all want this team to be a title contender, but I think there's obviously different views on how that can happen and how that should happen. So I personally think, you know, like this Warriors team, oh, you know, they're unathletic and they're getting old. Hey, you know what? We need like a guy who's young and athletic and who can get to the line and who's improving and who's on a cheap deal. Hey, John Kuminga, you know,
guess
great.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. So, you know, I think I don't know how much specific credence, but we all know that he is an asset that people would want. I mean, you know, all the young guys are pretty much. And it's unfortunate because Poole, you know, we've talked about this before, how, you know, real quick, it's like him getting a change of scenery would be good because just, you know, to get a fresh start from all the drama. And plus, like, he'd get away from Draymond. He would get out from he'd get a shot at starting, a realistic one, as opposed to being stuck behind Clay. And then, you know, Kuminga right now, it's like he's stuck behind Draymond, Gary Payton II, Andrew Wiggins. And you know that when that trade happened, the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade, and then the pick became Kuminga, like instantly I thought, I mean, it's clear to me, Kuminga is going to have the best career out of all those guys, barring injury. He's the best player out of all of them, in my opinion. And, you know, at the end of the day. So, like, it's unfortunate right now because Kerr is so loyal to the vets, and as he should be, but like the vets don't always make the best choices, right? They're rolling with their guys, and you know, Kuminga, he might not get another shot with this team. I think, you know, I think he deserves to stay, but if they move him, it better be for something worth it, because that might, you know, bite us on the butt. And also, we've been around long enough to see the Warriors punt on talent. And just as hard as it is to be a title contender, it's hard to like be a good team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know,
I kind of feel like it's just gotta be a bit of doing their due diligence. You know, in terms of like what kind of player would be quote unquote worth it for to give up Kuminga. You know, it's got to be packaged with Poole, and it's got to be somebody who's in that kind of fringe all-star range, right? Like, yeah. Like a Drew Holiday, like a Pascal Siakam, like that type of player. Right. Not the perennial all-star, but guys who have, you know, been in that echelon before. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's only natural that he's going to be part of it. I kind of don't see it. But you also never know, like if they get a good offer, then they're going to do it. Right. So, yeah. So, you know, in some ways where I guess maybe we're being primed a little bit, not that they're thinking about us and our reactions. They're going to consider what is going to make the team best. Right. And so,
right.
I mean, on the other hand, I mean, I, I, I especially don't give much credence to the moving up and drafting Scoot Henderson or one of the Thompsons. Yeah. Like, I don't see that at all. Like, that doesn't make any sense. If you're
or Derek Lively
to move and certainly not for Kuminga. I mean, obviously, like, if you're going to get somebody who is high salaried, it's got to be Poole, and it's probably got to be Kuminga. So there's only a pretty narrow set of people who that could be, unless you're doing, you know, if you go back to our fake trades episode, then if you're going for one of those depth trades,
which it didn't.
I mean, who knows? But I mean, in terms of the other kind of draft chatter is the more like the idea of moving back. Now, I think I can't remember who I was listening to. It might have been Givony and Bobby Marks. They mentioned how the Warriors have been pretty much only working out both older players and players who are kind of earmarked for later first round, second round kind of territory. And at various points, I've thought like that moving back and trying to pick up more draft capital for the future, for future trades or whatever, could be the move, right? Because, you know, being in the middle is sometimes the worst place to be. Not so much in the draft, but like in other places. But you know, I think the adage holds a little bit that, you know, if it's not really going to be there, then why not, you know, if there's some other guys you like, move down, maybe even get out of the first round or pick up some more second rounders in the future. Those are things that are valuable, especially with people who have tried to analyze the CBA and how valuable it's going to be to have even more than ever to have young stock pool of people on your roster who can be the minimum wage workers while your top flight stars make all the money. Right. So I kind of feel like that seems to be the play, because there has been, you know, kind of a trickle of the who they've worked out. And it's not these top players. Even mostly not even that many people who are projected mid first round. I will say with the caveat that, like, you know me, it's the draft is usually Warriors Christmas. I made a mistake, not a mistake, but I didn't know the draft was happening this week. So back in the winter, I booked a trip. So it's as if I booked some kind of vacation away from the internet while Christmas is happening. So so for that reason, I'm not as up on the draft as I usually am. So since I will be missing it.
Yeah, I mean, because the Warriors don't have a high pick, and I think that they should trade out or, as you said, back for more assets. I'm actually not that interested in the draft. I probably won't watch it.
I'd even be surprised if they stay where they are, you know, like it just feels like the logical thing would be, unless they love Derek Lively or something like that.
He won't be there though.
I mean, unless they love him or there's somebody they're really targeting to, like, and they'll get up to like 10 or 11 or something like that. Right. Which I don't see, because I don't think they have the assets to do it. And then, so I really think a trade back is more likely, you know, maybe one of those teams like Utah or who has like a million and a half draft picks. Right. And, you know, try to cash in on a few of those. Right.
Yeah. 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 Let me ask you, do you remember, I want to ask, cause I haven't talked about it since, it came out, like that podcast with that Draymond podcast with Steve Kerr. You see a clip of that where, you know, it was kind of going around socials. I've actually never listened to Draymond's podcast. Pretty sure he hasn't listened to mine either.
Never know.
But I've seen a ton of clips, and you know, he's talking to Kerr, and I think it was during a game where they're talking about one of the finals games or Eastern Conference finals games, and Kerr had said something about, you know, the Heat having players who just are all in and don't whine or pout or whatever. I don't know his exact words, if they're not getting playing time. And, you know, everybody took that as a kind of, you know, a jab at Poole and Kuminga. And Me personally, I don't necessarily know if I think of it as an intentional jab. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a media savvy guy, great talker. But like, it's to me, like, that's who his like mental reference is, right? Like, I don't think he was trying to make it a dig, but it's like, you know, he's speaking from maybe most recent experience. And I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that whole thing?
Yeah, I didn't. I think that people read it as, you know, making digs at specifically the younger guys. And that's what we've heard the most rumors of. But let's also remember that we heard that they were earlier in the season criticizing Clay for being selfish and taking bad shots. And so I think that it's a broader global view of the team. And I think, you know, I can't remember but who said it, but I think that the point is that they've likely had these conversations with each other already, you know, that he's like, if Poole or Kuminga heard that or Clay heard that on the podcast, it's not the first time that they've heard it. You know, mm-hmm. I think that they've probably all talked about it. Right. And I would tend to believe that. And they all know that the vibes were off. They all know that. They all know that they weren't playing for each other. We've all been on, you know, group situations where that happened, right? And you kind of don't need somebody to say it, right? Like you, or it's obvious to you too. So I don't think it was new information. I think that I don't think he's being duplicitous or you know, gossipy, like, oh, as if he didn't talk to those players or that the whole organization didn't have these conversations. I don't think that that's how it works. I don't know that for sure, but and then at the same time too, you know, he's maybe to a fault sometimes too forthcoming. And then at the same time, he does come from the school of Phil Jackson and Popovich, where they did message things outward. And and so maybe these things were conversations that they had in some way, but they're also reminders and missives to to everybody to, you know, get their act together, right? Like it, and that it needed to be reiterated, and that, and maybe it's also about like being a little bit transparent and like, you know, letting people know. I mean, some people will probably feel like I'm giving too much a benefit of the doubt, and that's fine. I think we all have our interpretations, right? So, but I don't think it was especially salacious or anything like that.
Right. It's one of those things that it depends on how you kind of perceive the situation already. You know, I mean, I will say, like, I think the Clay thing is totally different because that was in-house and they talked to him about it and they know how to talk to him. I just feel like, you know, also, you know, because this thing came out after that weird Stephen A. Smith, Draymond thing when they were like, you know, on some broadcast while one of the games was going on. And I talked about this in a previous episode, I think, but like, just again, it's not super fresh in my mind, but I just remember it just was so strange how Draymond was, you know, talking about how the punching of Jordan Poole affected their season. But he talked about it in terms of like he was held back or like he wasn't able to be who he was, as if he was, for lack of a better term, like the victim in this thing, as if like, you know, oh, because
you did that.
because people wouldn't let me, or because the normies wanted me to take a step back or something like that. Obviously, those aren't his words, but that was the vibe I got. And it was like, okay. And so I admit, like, watching this team all last season, having these thoughts, observations, and suspicions, you know, like, I try not to veer off into, like, you know, conspiratorial stuff. And I've always given Kerr, I love Kerr. Like, I think he's great. And when people have gotten on him in the past, like, I've been like, no, you know, it's all, I get it, right? Like when he said our favorite chasing wins, when people got on him for that a few years back, I was like, no, I get that. Because, I mean, you and I talked about how it wasn't about that season. It was about the following season. And that's the season they won their fourth title. So it did kind of like feel, because it, you know, we don't know. Like, everybody was singing Kuminga's praises during the regular season, especially in the final couple months, the month, last month and a half or something like that, when Wiggins was out, when GP was injured. But then all of a sudden, like, you know, oh, he's not a team player during the playoffs. And for me, it's like, he's what, 20 years old. If he pouted, that's a shame. But again, I don't think that's this fireable or get him off my team offense. No. Again, I'm not in the locker room, but to me, it's like, that level of talent that you were so high on before, you know, you opted, Wiggins came back, obviously you play him, but you opted for Gary Payton II in all these other, you know, small fractional minutes. And then of course, Moses Moody. So it, you know, like, I hate to be like suspicious of this, but like all this gaslighting of this punch throughout the season, where we're saying like, I think this is still lingering. Like, how, you know, how can you get over this? This is affecting people. And then everybody like gaslighting it all season, being like, nah, this just happens. You know, it's like men, sports, you know, grunting, sweating, brawling. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, it did. You know, and I get why they would gaslight it and not admit it. You know, they're trying to keep everything together. But then it was just like, you know, I became a little like, you know, uncertain about some of the stuff that comes out of their mouths a little bit. But again, that's because it's Warriors franchise or fan base is kind of like has it picking and choosing its spots. You know,
well, that's why everybody's been was anxious about Bob leaving, because Bob seemed to be the kind of like the cultural constant, or like the kind of centering of everybody, right? Maybe he was tired of that, right? And so, you know, this is where, you know, people's got to step up, so Kerr's got to do better. And I think he's mentioned that, but he does. And you know, the old guard, they have to do better. They have to lead better. They can't, you know, I think, you know, yes, it's true that they probably went too far with the youth brigade on the bench, you know, and probably thought that Andre would be a little bit more helpful than he was, and not even about playing, but it's just different when you're in street clothes. Right. And so, you know, we're going to see what kind of corrections get made. There's going to be new coaches. There's going to have to be, if they keep Kuminga, they have to make it work, right? Like and to be fair, they were just integrating Wiggins right back at the start of the playoffs. And so, you know, that is a tough place to make it all work. But that's the job. And now, you know, presuming that they keep him, which is, you know, not a sure thing, but do it. You know, let's see it Kerr, let's see it, Dunleavy and the management, and let's see the veterans come together a little bit too.
Yeah It'll be interesting, because, like, you know, those, the top six of Draymond, Steph, Clay, Kevon Looney, Wiggins, and Gary Payton II, like, those are the guys that I feel like Steph definitely wants around, and everything else, it's like, well, you know, like, there's some guys in there that maybe aren't necessarily better than the guys that Steph wants to move. And he's on the court, he has, you know, it's the chemistry and all that stuff and what he wants. But, you know, we'll definitely see. I mean, we could go on and on and on about this, and we probably will throughout the summer as things change. But thanks for coming on. You got anything else?
Yeah I just want to if we can end on a fun note, did you hear or see some of Carl Anthony Towns's quotes? Did you see some of that?
I was in a place where I couldn't listen, but thank God people put text, and I was like, What?
Well, cool. Wow. Interesting guy. Interesting guy. I just, you know, you look at that team and you look at him as a player, and I bring him up because he did come up in our fake trades episode.
Right.
And, you know, I've done some fake trades for him. And I'm like, wow, you know, could be such a good fit. But then you see stuff like that, you're like, I don't know. No. Like, I don't know if I gets it, you know?
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't want it.
I think we already have one player who changed the game. I don't know if we can. I don't know if the league could handle two players who changed the game.
So. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing to add to that because it was just kind of... mouth agape. I was like, I might as well have been Mike Dunleavy getting kicked in the face because I was like, what? And I think that's what everyone else said or thought. And it really makes you think, like, you know, as professional athletes, people who are coddled and people who are like in their own bubbles and stuff like that, like what they really believe about themselves and, you know, people hyping them up. I mean, the extreme is like boxers, right? Because they have to be told they're the best. They have to believe it because it's one-on-one in there, you know, in terms of fighting, but like players as well in team sports, you have to believe it because it's so hard and competitive. But yeah, that's a great note to end on, man. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, and thanks for coming on. Y'all can find Aram in Toronto on Twitter at Aram Collier. It's on the screen, Aram Collier. And if you're not on our Discord server, you can join it for free. If you don't know what Discord is, it's kind of like a, I don't know, like a app forum platform talk thing. It's kind of like Slack, but not so. Check it out. Link is in the show notes below. All right. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time.